Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. Good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's good to have you on board and I appreciate all of our listeners that contact me during the week. They see me out and about and they take the time to say hi. I listened to you this week. Appreciate the message. Thank you so much. And I thank you all for the encouragement there. And I just continue to pray that the Lord would use this time that we have together today to be a blessing to each and every one. Again, my name is Steve Willing, and I pastor the church here in Marion Station. And we start our Sunday mornings off with church, our worship service. And we start at 10 o'clock. And since it's still pretty early, you have plenty of time to come and join us this morning. Even if you're down on the Lower Eastern Shore, Virginia, Pocomoke, Snow Hill, Berlin, Salisbury, Fruitland area, over Mount Vernon, Deal Island, Chance, Westover, Pocomoke Forest, you have plenty of time to come and join us this morning as we look forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. You'll be greeted warmly as you come through the door. And if you did show up this morning, you hear me on the program, I'll certainly be able to get there to you and let me know that you heard me on the program and that's why you come. That would be a great encouragement to know the program's reaching some folks. This evening, we normally have our evening worship service, but this week it'll be canceled. Next week, we'll be back to a regular schedule. We have our evening worship service that starts at 6 o'clock, but this week we've put it off one more time but next week we'll be back on track again. Now keep in mind that our Sunday mornings and Sunday nights are streamed via Facebook. So our Sunday mornings start in person 10 o'clock. We start streaming Facebook right around 10:45. Sunday nights in person at 6, and we start streaming right around 6:30. Tuesday evening's Bible study. So looking forward to that. We're in the book of James. We're moving on through. We're coming to that final chapter. So come out and join us Tuesday evening at 6:30. Looking forward to that. And that is also streamed via Facebook. And that streaming starts around 6:35 or so. We take a little bit of time to pray, and then we begin our lesson. Also, we've got Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of the month. We would love to have you come out for that. And as far as your kids, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe you got nieces or nephews, looking forward to it. We'll have that marked out on our webpage. And we've got a new website up, which is www.cfbc413.org. O-R-G.org. So you can check us out there. We've got a lot of good stuff going on that links us to our Facebook page, links us to our podcast page, links us to the YouTube page. So I got our calendar on there, statement of faith, lots of stuff going on there now. We're very thankful for that being up and running. So check that out. Again, that's cfbc413.org. So, with all that being said today, I've got a song picked out for us here that I pray the Lord would use to be ministering to your heart. And with that, Here's a song. Grab your Bible, and we're going to be turning to Joshua chapter 2.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Brings me low but ne'er bring me down. I know master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. Make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind.
And that was Miss Sandy Whipps singing for us this morning, Master of the Wind. And certainly, folks, just as Jesus, the Son of God, calmed the natural storms of life back in his day when he was on the boat several times, calmed the stormy seas. Friends, he can do the same in our lives spiritually. He can bring the most complex, heartbreaking situations, and his peace that surpasses all understanding can guard our hearts and minds through that of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we bless the Lord today for that, and I just pray that the Lord would use it to be an encouragement to you this morning. We turn our attention again to Joshua chapter 2, where we left off last week. Rahab had received the spies, and remember that she was a prostitute. She was probably like the kind of the mother of other prostitutes, possibly, but we know that she was. And that she had hidden the spies, and that she had lied about their whereabouts when the king sent a delegation to find out what the story was, where these spies were, because they knew they had entered her home, and they come looking, and she, what the main emphasis of the message was last week, that she lied. She told them just a barefaced lie that they had left. They had gotten through the gate before the gate shut, and if they hurried, they could probably catch them. So we pick up the conversation with Rahab and the spies after she had sent the king's delegation away, and they went off and tried to chase the spies and try to find out where they were. But we pick it back up in that of chapter 2, verse 7 of the book of Joshua. The Bible says, "Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, and my brothers and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And we'll pause there because it's just a lot here to cover this morning concerning that of this back and forth, this dialogue of which they have had. So Rahab, again, she hides the spies, but she wants some security in this too. She demonstrated the reason for the faith of which she has in taking the chance of hiding these individuals. So what we see is, it tells us, so it's almost like an interlude between what is going on. It says, and now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men. So she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. And friends, I want to impress upon us that this is something that only God can do. This is something, as we look at how God uses circumstances, particular situations, we speak about that of the message of others, how God takes his word, permeates the hearts of people. This is something that only God can do. God does this. She says, I know the Lord has given you the land. And that is a wonderful thing today when we talk about God's work, God's grace working on behalf of this harlot, working on behalf of her, and what he has impressed upon her, that she knew that the land that she lived in was in trouble because Israel was coming. She knew that the Lord had given them the land. And she says that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. The terror of you has fallen upon us. God had put upon the inhabitants of that land of Jericho and the surrounding territory, he had placed a fear of Israel upon them. And we see this time and time again within Scripture. Even when it was against Israel, that God would have their hearts melt, that they would fear, that they were no longer fearing God, but they would end up fearing man. And we know that, friends, the Bible says that the fear of man, that is a trap, that is a snare to our souls every time. But we see that Rahab, because of God's grace, his intervention in her life, that what he had done was put a terror upon the inhabitants of the land. And she knew that something, that there was no way that she was going to get out of this alive, neither her father, mother, sisters, brothers, all that they had. There was no way that they were going to escape this. But God, in his sovereignty, he chose that these men would go to this prostitute's house, and that she herself would hide these individuals. Again, going back to what we said last week, not that lying was the best course of action for her, as far as the morals of it all, but noted that God would take that of working through human beings, even in their sinful behavior, and he would fulfill his will for that of Israel and for that of Rahab. Now listen, she says, and all the inhabitants of the land, that they are faint-hearted because of you. That, see, they've just lost their strength. They know something's coming, but they have no hope. They're scared to death. But Rahab is making preparation. She's preparing for what is to come. Listen, she says, "For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." Now keep in mind, friends, that's been 40 years ago, or 38. Well, 38, 40 years ago now that we see that particular event. And that is still lingering with those people. "We have heard what the Lord has done for you when he dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And then what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." These were going to be much more, far as the military might, more powerful than Israel. But we see that God, that him being with Israel, dried the Red Sea up. They crossed over. Pharaoh's army was destroyed. Then Sihon and Og, those kings, they and their armies were utterly destroyed. And the inhabitants of Jericho and surrounding territories had heard all about it, and they had become fearful of what was next. If Israel crossed over the Jordan, it was not going to be good for them. She goes on to say, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." This is what we see. This is actually literally what Rahab is seeing. She's seeing all this go on and heard about it. And now she's saying for herself, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well for us. But here's opportunity that God has given her, that these spies from Jericho end up to her house. Could have ended up in anybody's house, but ended up at her house. And then she prepares. She says, "I've heard about what God has done on your behalf. I understand this. And what I do know is that now all the people of the land, they have become faint-hearted. There is no more strength, she would say, in them. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you." And what was the reason for that? The reason was not because of the numbers of Israel, not because that of what they were capable of, but she was clear it was because of what God was doing on their behalf. She recognized it. Many in Israel didn't recognize it. But here you had this prostitute that she was able to see it clearly. This is what God has done. The Lord your God has done for you. We know it's not looking good for us. And she, by the grace of God, by God's grace, she recognized it. And then she says in verse 12, "Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." That's what she asks. "Do this. Here's what I've done. Here's what I'll do. I'll take care of what's going on here, but give me a token. Make covenant with me." And we'll talk more about that next week. But here we see that God, by his grace, brings these two to her house. She knows already what is set before. Destruction and death are looming over that house, over the entire city, over the entire region, that, if you want to call that a nation or a country of people, that it was not good for them at all. And they all knew it, because she says that we're all faint-hearted. We have no courage. Everyone sees what is coming. But Rahab makes preparation. God himself puts her in a position to be saved. Now, folks, when we talk about salvation, he's here. When we look at it from a New Testament perspective, but here she understands that her life, her physical life is hanging in the balance at this hour. And God has shown her a way to come out. He's given her opportunity to come out. I look at this particular passage, and here you have a woman who has basically sold her body for money, just given it over to that of probably countless of men to support herself and possibly her family and who else. But noted that here we see that even though we may at times say, well, she's just beyond any kind of grace. But see, this is a perfect example of grace. This is someone whom, from a humanistic standpoint, we would say is not deserving. But see, from God's perspective, that's exactly what grace is. Nobody deserves it. Not the most religious, not the most seemingly self-righteous person. They don't deserve grace. Because grace is God's unmerited favor. I don't deserve God's favor. I've received this favor from God because he just give it. I didn't deserve it, but he just give it. And this is what we see through that of the testimony of God himself by what he has did on behalf of Israel. Here's what the Lord has done. And she saw that. And God himself, as I started off by saying, this is a God thing. God opened her eyes to that truth. We know. Isn't that what she said? I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know it. But she was making preparation. If I hide you, if I keep you safe, will you make covenant with me? And what we'll see is certainly the spies did. Let's bring that picture up to where we are today in the New Testament. Let's bring that picture up to us where we, because the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, that all of us have missed the mark. We know that the wages of our sin is death, that death is looming over each and every one of us, that there is no escape from that. Death is going to have its way apart from the return of Christ. We'll see it'll happen. And that's why it's necessary. That's why it's necessary today, dear friend, that we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Christ is coming. That's a given. Death is coming. But are we prepared for it? That's something that, friends, we won't escape, again, unless the Lord himself would bring us on out of here before we die. But, friends, are we prepared? See, God opens our eyes to things. He'll open up the truth to us. That's what Rahab was able to see. She saw the truth of God and what he had done. And now these guys show up to her doorstep. Now she's going to take the opportunity. She's going to say, this is my opportunity. And Christ, friends, when we see him on the cross, that is the opportunity. There is no other opportunity apart from Jesus Christ for salvation. We have no hope to escape death apart from Jesus Christ. And friends, I'm just not talking our physical death either, even though that is a part of what we see Christ, that he would be resurrected for, that you and I, that even though we die, yet we shall live. Because of what Christ has done, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we will be like him. That's what the Bible tells us. But friends, just not physical death, but we understand that, friends, we are facing, and right now, in spiritual death. The wrath of God abides upon us. The wages of my sin is death. I'm storing up wrath for the day of judgment. God is coming, and he will judge me righteously. He'll judge me justly. He'll judge me based upon, apart from Christ, upon my works. And my works will never add up to the holiness of God because I have missed it completely. Come way, way short of that, of God's holiness, his righteousness, his standard of which he has set. We have all sinned, but God has prepared a way. He's given us opportunity through his son, Jesus Christ. That there on the cross that day that Jesus died, he died not as a martyr, but he died as the Savior. He died as one who was taking your place, the death that you should have died, that eternity of which you should have spent in hell that Christ bought and paid for you, that you would not have to face the consequence of your sin. He substituted himself. And that's the bottom line. That's what we see. We see Christ giving himself for us. The big theological term is substitutionary atonement. That God substituted himself on our behalf. That in believing in him, the Bible says that you and I can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And those that will believe on him, that they would never die. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe on me, even though they die, yet they shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I hold the keys of hell and death. And because I live, you shall live also. That's the synopsis of the gospel. Believing. Rahab believed God. She believed that God was the all-powerful God of heaven and earth and that destruction was coming her way. But she saw the opportunity and she took it. I'm asking you today to see the opportunity that God has offered you through his son, Jesus Christ, to be saved. That there at the cross, Jesus died for you. He gave his life that you could have eternal life. I pray, friend, that you would not pass up the opportunity to confess your sin to the Lord God, to the Father, and believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, that you can have forgiveness of sin, and that you can have eternal life, that you don't have to worry about that of death. You don't have to worry about punishment in hell, for God has given his life for you, that you can have it abundantly and eternally with him. Trust him today. Look to him today. Dig through the scripture and know that what I say today is true to you, that God has given his life, that you could have life, have it abundantly, have it eternally. My name is Steve Willing. And I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. If you would like to contact us with questions or comments or prayer requests, please feel free to call 443-235-3618. You can go to our website, which is www.cfbc413.org. You can go to our Facebook page. You can also go to our YouTube channel, which is Hold Fast CFBC, and you can also go to our podcast page, which is Christ Fellowship Bible Church at fireside.fm. But once again, thank you for tuning in this morning, and may the Lord bless you all. May he bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace. God bless.